Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to On the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, June 3rd, and this is the 66th episode of the series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my originally planned guest was unable to make it, so instead, I have a very special guest calling in from Milan, Italy. And she's going to talk with us about the Expo Milano 2015, which I just got back from. But first, as I do in every show, I will start out with my PR tip. Then later, we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. Today's tip is to express love. Tell people how much they mean to you when you have the opportunity to do so. Oftentimes, we wait to tell people how special they are to us rather than say it now. So, call it a coincidence, but today is my 66th episode, and my parents, who were married in 1966, are here today visiting me in the studio. They are my number one fans, so I want to say on air, I love you, Mom and Dad, and I'm so grateful to have you both as my parents. You're the best. Now, sit back, enjoy Roberta's pizza, and the show. That's my tip today. Now, I'm really excited to have my guest calling in from Milan, where she is temporarily based. It is Elizabeth Thatcher Jones, the social media and culinary producer for the USA Pavilion at the Expo Milano 2015. Elizabeth is not only involved with this world fair, but she is the founder of the Food Book Fair in New York City and co-founder of Food Plus Enterprise. She is a strategist, entrepreneur, and cyclist. So, ciao, Elizabeth. Are you out there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you, and I love that I got to see you just a couple days ago in Milan. It was such a great experience, and I'm just excited to talk to you about what it's been like being at the Expo and working in Milan. So, how did you get started in the culinary industry?
So, my first exposure to food was actually growing up. I was a kid living in the suburbs of New York, not too far from the city. And my sister, who's 10 years older than me, was working at a well-known restaurant in Tribeca, in downtown Manhattan, called Chanterelle. And she worked in the front of house at Chanterelle for over 10 years. So when I was in middle school and then when I was in high school, I knew about this magical thing that she did. She loved what she did there and built such an amazing community there and brought all the great recipes and food back home and would cook for us for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And my parents didn't really cook very much. So all of a sudden we had these, you know, four-star meals by my sister, who just really loved cooking. So I was lucky enough to then go and eat at Chanterelle. I was a senior in high school, and it was restaurant week. And back in the day, restaurant week was, the price was exactly the amount of the year. So it was $19.98. And five of my best girlfriends from high school, we all went and had this meal that made us realize, you know, food experiences are really like experiencing an artwork and a performance. So that was my first exposure to it. And then through studying, I really actually studied art and photography in college. But my job right out of college, I was, poor me, I was really unfortunate to get a gig with a caviar company, which was a sustainable caviar company. And that was 10 years ago. I was doing marketing and really anything I could possibly do for this company to help sell and market their sustainable caviar, which was a James Beard award-winning company. So I was out in San Francisco right after college, and that was where I launched my career in food, which has taken me to various places. So that's really how I got my start.
Wow, that's a great start. Because, I mean, from Chanterelle and caviar, I could see how that would influence you want to stay in the industry. So then what brought you to New York?
Well, growing up in New York, I was eager to see other parts of the country. But after being in San Francisco for 4 years, I decided I wanted to go and get another degree. And I was looking at different programs. I thought an MBA would be the right thing for me, partly because I have this entrepreneurial streak. I started a very short-lived cycling tour company in Northern California, and it was a real lesson in understanding that, you know, just because you have a URL and a website doesn't mean everyone's going to come and patronize your business. And so we had one season of leading cycling tours of biodynamic wineries and incorporating the caviar into that experience. And then I realized it was time to go back to my roots in New York, and ended up for a couple years working with the Rockwell Group and David Rockwell doing strategy and sort of thinking about food trends. And this was in the late 2000s. So the idea that you could land a restaurant reservation online with a click, you know, at midnight, or follow a food truck and get the best food that you could find by using Twitter, that was a new thing at that point. And so I became really interested in that, and it led me to the NYU Food Studies program, where as I was pursuing a master's degree, I was also volunteering and looking for opportunities to get more involved in local food work. So San Francisco really left this impact on me in terms of how local and sustainable is sort of part of the DNA there. And in the late 2000s in New York, it was becoming something interesting and somewhat trendy. And so I found myself working with artists and designers who were using food as a medium to express ideas that were beyond just deliciousness, beyond, you know, entrepreneurship, design and art. And it was a stepping stone to do something more. And so I, to be honest with you, I'm still working on my master's degree because I got a little bit distracted here coming to work for the USA Pavilion in Milan. And as you mentioned, you know, the Food Book Fair and a couple other projects that are keeping me busy.
Everything you've done is so impressive, and don't feel bad about that, because I'm still working on my master's, I guess you could say, because I was in the food studies program starting in 1998. Second year. and get this, Mitchell Davis taught my food writing class, and that's how I met Mitchell.
And, oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, it's so funny because now, I mean, as you know, but maybe not all the listeners know, Mitchell is living in Milan right now, too, and a big part of what's happening there, the U.S. Pavilion, and with the James Beard Foundation. So it's small world, right?
Very small world. I asked Mitchell sometimes, why doesn't he come back and teach? Because maybe then I'd go back and finish my degree.
Yeah, maybe me too. So this job you're doing out in Milan, so who approached you to come out there, and what is your role?
So a year ago, I guess it was May 2014, I got a phone call from a friend who is the marketing director for a food truck, a very successful food truck company called Kelvin's Natural Soda. Her name's Helena Tubis. And she said, you know, my other friend is looking for somebody to help out with the World Expo in Milan in 2015. And I immediately went straight to Google, you know, what is Expo and what is happening in Milan in 2015? I had no idea. And I realized that, you know, the Expo is the World's Fair. It switched over in the 70s. And is really what we know to be the World's Fair. It's a six-month-long festival, and based on where it is, it can be a trade fair focused on building business and local and national economies. And, I mean, there were many layers that I dove deep into, and, of course, you know, this World Fair felt like the ideal World Fair to be a part of because the theme is food and sustainability. And so when I got that call, the real ask was from Helena and the guy that she was really good friends with, that who was working on it before, was work on the food trucks. And I never worked on a food truck before. Like I said, I understand, you know, the movement, and have looked at it from sort of an academic perspective or, you know, a marketing perspective. But, you know, to have food trucks in Milan, think about the implication of bringing American street food to a place like Italy, was a very exciting and big challenge.
Yeah, and you definitely pulled it off, because from being there, so that's a large part of the exhibition for America, having Food Truck Nation. So is that a rotating list of trucks there, or is that, because I did walk through. I didn't eat because I decided to go to Kuwait for lunch instead. because
you.
I could, and I can get the American food more easily here. But you want to talk more about the Food Truck Nation, what's happening there?
Yeah, so initially the food trucks, when I first saw the rendering, our architect, James Bieber, who designed our pavilion, had initially put the food trucks lined up right in front of the pavilion. And so we had six, and we found out very early on, had to be permanently parked, so they weren't going to be trucks that were ever going to be able to drive around because of security issues, because of the necessity for power, and because of the crowds that are coming to Expo. In fact, this past Saturday, we had our largest attendance of Expo ever. I think through our pavilion itself, we had over 5,000 people, and we were told that we are the most attended pavilion of all of the pavilions.
I was there that day. Sorry to interrupt, but I added to that.
It was a busy day.
Yes. So that's yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So the food trucks, then we realized that the exhaust from the trucks could potentially hurt the vertical farm, because if you're making, you know, 2,000 burgers out of one truck in a day, which is not a number that any food truck on the streets of New York or LA or anywhere would be able to pull off. But our food trucks have storage next to them, so we can easily replenish those burgers throughout the day, They are really high quality, so we're not, let's say, using frozen product that we're just putting on the grill. But, you know, that's the number one element of what we want to do, is make really good, high-quality food and use the products that are available to us in Italy to do that. This is Black Angus beef. The burgers are from Kansas. So when we saw that exhaust coming out, we realized that we really needed our own food truck park, similar to food truck rallies that, you know, you see in New York at Prospect Park, where 10 trucks will park for the day, and you can go, you know, with a group of friends and try a little bit of everything. And so we really tried to mimic that. But the trucks themselves are inspired by trucks that are riding the streets of New York and of the U.S. You know, we discovered that there are tens of thousands of food trucks all over the U.S., and we wanted to represent everybody. So going back to the hamburger, that was the obvious choice, to have a hamburger that flavor profile, we call it the sauce of the day. We change out that in Italian, it's actually the salsa of the day, but in English, it's really the sauce that we change out throughout the 6 months, and that sauce will represent different states throughout the U.S. We also have a seafood truck, which has a lobster roll, and right now it has a very limey shrimp roll, which is inspired by an area in southern Florida that has partnered with us to highlight the culinary elements of that area of the world. And we have a dessert truck and a beverage truck. And then lastly, and today we actually had a famous barbecue pit master who came through our pavilion and our food truck park. His name's Wayne Mueller from Louis Mueller's Barbecue in Texas, right outside of Austin. And so we have this barbecue truck, which has brisket and ribs, and it's all really delicious barbecue that's made from a local pit master here in Milan, who is a transplant from the south of, you know, the U.S.
Wow.
So we've tried to hit a lot of, you know, the regional cuisines in our country that are not as well known here in Italy.
It sounds awesome. I'm thinking I should probably eat at the Truck Nation, but next time.
Okay. Yeah, 6 months, so you can come back.
Okay, maybe I will. We're going to take a little break here and come back. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Elizabeth Thatcher-Jones, social media and culinary producer for the USA Pavilion at Expo Milano 2015. So before the break, we were talking a bit about the trucks, and I wanted to get into a little more about the U.S. Pavilion, the other part being the main exhibition and the video that was downstairs that I saw. I thought it was really well done, because I think it's hard to capture the U.S. food scene because it is so diverse. And I think you guys did a really great job with that. You're welcome. What's been the reaction of people? I mean, or do you just want to talk a bit about how that was put together?
Sure. Yeah. So the team here is, we have Mitchell, who's our chief creative officer, and Dorothy Cann Hamilton, who's the president. Both have shows on Heritage Radio, so I know that y'all are familiar with them.
Yes.
And then, both of them have been very deeply involved in all the content. And, you know, from the day that I started, there was a lot of research and a lot of a deep dive into all that could be possible with so much that is going on, all the action that we're seeing here in the U.S. Around food from, yes, the trends of food trucks, but also the issues that are important on a global scale. So, you know, the mission and the mandate has always been how do we feed 9 billion by 2050? And that is something that our Secretary of State, John Kerry, has said, you know, and as well as our President, Obama, has said this is why we're participating, because we have to, as a country, participate in the solution to this, you know, big problem. And it's not one solution, it's a lot of solutions. And the countries that are here at Expo 2 are definitely talking about that and highlighting the best of what their countries can do in a first step to addressing that bigger picture question. So for the U.S., we have our boardwalk exhibition. So when you walk in, there are six content stations that all talk about various initiatives that are happening within our country through academia, through Native American cultures, through farming and policy, cooking, nutrition, and our industry, as well as our American Perspectives Wall, which has quotes and mentions around leadership for global food security. There's a quote, a Wendell Berry quote, as well as many quotes that we asked individuals within our government to say, what would you have to say about how food can impact these bigger issues?
Yeah, and the overall theme is American food 2.0, which is a great name for the concept or the theme that's going on. With your role with social media and culinary producer, I mean, what is a day in the life? Like, how are you managing that?
Well, like I said, we're pretty small. I guess I get two titles, in part because culinary producer had to do with all the beginning stuff, you know, thinking about what these food trucks were going to be, building our food truck advisory board so that we had leaders within food truck entrepreneurship and advocacy who are looking at food trucks as a conduit for creating change, whether it be around labor issues or the fact that food trucks can only park in certain places at certain times, or that food trucks are a place as an incubator for culinary hybridization of different types of foods and flavors that might be unexpected. And the social media part is something that, to be honest with you, we had a couple consultancies that we were working with, and no one that we've really worked with has ever worked on a World's Fair before. The strategy for building a social media campaign is not yet defined. This is the first social expo. This is the first expo that has ever allowed and promoted and cultivated a social media following. If you look at Expo 2015 Milano, that's their Twitter handle and their Facebook handle and their Instagram handle, they've done an incredible job at building a news feed and a voice for Expo as a whole. So that if you're not actually able to go to Milan, you know, I joke that you should come back, Sherry, but it's certainly not something that everybody who is part of our community can do. And, you know, so much of the great work that's happening around food in the U.S. is happening in local communities. So to blow that up to what's going on in Milan, we've done a really sincere and sort of deep, work into bringing that there. But, you know, a lot of people walk through the pavilion and they're thinking about going to the food trucks or they're thinking about what they're going to eat for lunch. So if you have social media, be a place where we can interact with the larger community, we can use it as a way to say, hey, we're having Wayne Mueller come and talk about barbecue. And, you know, probably four people that see that tweet are going to come. Everyone else who's there, they might just be walking through the pavilion at that moment and see that there's someone speaking and that there's someone translating in Italian to speak their language. And then they get, then their mouths drop open when they hear, oh, wow. Barbecue is something that is cooked for, you know, 30 hours. If you have like a 30-pound piece of meat in the smoker, then you actually cook something for 30 hours. And you know, these little like aha moments where you realize, you know, we're so inundated with, as Americans, with not just what is barbecue now, but right. What are the differences? Right. But to Italians, it's a completely new flavor profile and tradition and cooking ways that are so foreign in so many ways. So those are really great moments. And to be able to capture those on social media and share them, you know, if it's live tweeting a talk or whatnot, it's an honor to be able to do that.
Yeah, you've been doing an incredible job, and it's interesting, too, that I found out about the JBF American restaurant through your Instagram feed, which goes to show you the power that you have, because then I ended up going to the dinner, which I will talk about in my solo dining experience, but that's a whole other component of the American Pavilion that's happening, which is really cool. I have to say.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I can't, you know, I can say thank you, but I'm not really a part of the restaurant all that much.
But you're on the whole team. You're a part of it to me because it's the U.S. team in Milan. So I give you credit.
Well, thank you. Thank you. My colleague, Diana Perez, who's also doing social media, has been at every single meal since the day we opened. We are a little bit of a small fish in a big pond. It was so awesome to hear that you wanted to come to dinner with us because, to be honest with you, there are so many great restaurants in this town and outside of this town, and I know you got to experience some of them. And so to be able to, you know, be a part of a platform where we're sharing the other kind of American food, the, you know, the chef and restaurant world that is so vast and growing and exciting in the U.S. with a community here. It's been very, very much a DIY effort of, you know, getting the right partners in place and opening the doors to a community that doesn't, you know, Daniel Hum is certainly a name that rings a bell for people in the industry, but we still have to educate folks to let them know about all the great restaurants and that these chefs are, you know, as learned as the Italian grandmas that are cooking at many of the other restaurants here in Milan. And tonight we have Maria Hines from Seattle. Tomorrow we actually are bringing in an Italian chef just to mix it up a little bit. Christina Bowerman from Osteria Glass from Rome. And then we have Art Smith. So, you know, these chefs are actually, for the most part, not the big names from New York. You know, certainly there are many of those, but the goal was to represent chefs from all over the country. So we have this weekend a chef duo from Minneapolis. One is a Native American chef called the Sioux Chef, as in the Sioux Native American tribe. And Lenny Russo from Heartland Restaurant, who just won a James Beard Award. Certainly, the James Beard Foundation and that affiliation and that name is so important to what we are doing, because you have the tradition of the James Beard House in New York. And each night there, just like each night here is a performance, it really is about an experience and an opportunity to interact with a chef at the end of the meal, ask them questions, and talk about, you know, the concept and then also what brought them to Milan and what, you know, what their experience has been.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I'm really glad I got to experience it. And for sure, I wouldn't have minded dining out in Milan separately. The food scene is quite amazing there. And I really enjoyed visiting Milan. But I figured while I was there, just get the most of it of the expo. And so I was glad to see you guys were doing that. And it's at the end of the show, I'll talk about my experience. So we're going to take another break here, and we're going to come back. We're going to do my speed round game, talk some industry news. This is On the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Before you're dead and gone. Yeah, no, there ain't no telling. Yeah, we all just bet.
Okay, we're back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Elizabeth Thatcher Jones. It's time for my speed round game. So, Elizabeth, what this is I'm going to name two things, and you just pick your preference. Are you ready? Okay.
Ready.
Eat in or eat out?
Eat out.
Wine, beer, or cocktail?
Wine.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Large plates.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Communal table.
Great. A few more. USA Pavilion or any other pavilion?
USA Pavilion.
Yeah.
All the way.
That was a given. How about espresso or cappuccino?
Espresso.
Cheese plate or dessert?
Cheese plate.
Last one, Manhattan, Brooklyn, or Milan?
right now, Milan.
Woo, Milan wins. Well, it must be fun living out there, you know, a different experience from New York City, San Francisco. And, yeah. Well, great. Yeah. You were really good at the game.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so industry news. The big story this week I have in the New York Times, world's 50 best restaurants announced amid criticism over voting. This article was by Julia Moskin. And as people, I think, in the food world know, this week it was announced the 50 best restaurant list, which does have some controversy about it, but it's a big celebration of restaurants and exciting. So the number one was El Celler de Can Roca in Spain, which was, I think, two. It bumped Noma down to three, and Osteria Francescana in Modena, Italy, to number two. And lucky me got to have lunch there on Friday. So I'm feeling pretty cool. What do you think of this list?
That's the coolest thing ever.
The list or my lunch?
Both. I mean, the fact that you had lunch and then 2 days later.
Yeah. No, it was, and Massimo Bottura, I can see why he's so popular. He's quite a nice man. He gave me a chunk of cheese to bring home with me, and I just really enjoyed meeting him, and so I was really happy to see that he's now number two. And this list also, so Daniel Hum, number five from 11 Madison Park, and Blue Hill Stone Barns made the list at 49. And it was a very, I don't know, I was reading how it was much more of a global reach with covering restaurants in India and Korea and Russia compared to other years. So the controversy part of it, I think, is that people, they were saying how the voters don't really have to show proof that they've gone to these restaurants within the last 18 months. And so some people criticize the list. I don't know. What's your take on this?
You know, my take is that I don't know too much about the controversy, but I think that the people that I've interacted with who have a say, and one being Mitchell Davis, who was in London for the past few days as a participant, has, you know, a lot of integrity and works hard to know what he's, you know, they work hard to know what they're voting for, and the competition is fierce, you know, so there's a lot of attention being played on which regions get more attention and which chefs get to stay at the top, and certainly, you know, the gender issue being female is something that I'm very close to, so I'm always looking to see if any women get the same sort of attention. And there's a lot of work to be done there. So I would say that, you know, is the controversy that I'm paying attention to. But, you know, I'm not as lucky as you. I haven't eaten at Bottura's restaurant yet. So I'm going to have to do that very soon while I'm here.
Yeah, it's 2-hour train ride, worth doing if you can get a reservation. I would recommend it. And it's exciting, too, next year. Well, for New York, they decided they're bringing this award ceremony to New York City. It's been in London all these years. And actually, it was, you know, all these people that I just ran into at these dinners, Daniel Hum and Massimo, they were all going to London. I felt, you know, really more of a part of this celebration of restaurants. And I agree with you. Like, I know some people who are voters, and I trust their opinion, and I think it's exciting, and I think it's also exciting that Daniel Ballou got the Lifetime Achievement Award. I think that's very well deserved. So, yeah. So congratulations to everyone on the list. There's also a 51 to 100 list that they do. So you can go online and check that out. Okay, so we're going to take one more break here and come back. I'm going to do my solo dining experience. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Oh, won't you save all your pumpkin pie? Oh, won't you save all your
All of the music on today's show has been by the California Honey Drops, and we will be right back.
Me, girl, please don't give none away. Let it get sweeter by the day. Oh, won't you save it, baby? Won't you save it? Oh, won't you save it all for me? Save all your cherry jam. Oh, won't you save all your cherry jam?
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It's time for my solo dining experience of the week, which is at the James Beard Foundation's American Restaurant as a part of Expo Milano 2015, which we've been talking about. So here's the rundown. The location, Seven Stars Galleria atop the landmark Galleria Vittorio Emanuele at Piazza della Scala in Milan, Italy. The concept, a unique showcase for American gastronomy with rotating all-star chefs. The chef, Daniel Hum, of 11 Madison Park in New York City. Why did I go? Because I was in town for the expo and excited to check out the JBF restaurant concept. And I was excited that Daniel was the chef the night I happened to be in town. My experience. I arrived at 7:30 and welcomed at a reception on the fifth floor with an amazing view of the Galleria. Past appetizers, including scallop and pistachio, were served. Champagne was flowing. Well, for me, I had sparkling water. I chatted with a lovely couple from Milan, and then we were seated in the dining room at communal tables. I sat next to a couple from Arkansas, and we enjoyed a four-course tasting menu that had wine pairings. Daniel greeted the dining room, answered questions at the end, and went around to all of the tables. The staff was very welcoming. What did I get? Well, the four courses were lobster and tomato salad, turbo, favas, and ramps, lamb, eggplant, and yogurt, and milk and honey. There was also Mass Brothers chocolate bars with a guessing game to match the milk with the bars. My take? Excellent day. I loved every course, which were also beautifully presented. The scene, it was a mix of tourists and local Italians. Perfect for anyone who's in Milan and appreciates good quality food and wine and a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Interesting tidbits. The Galleria space was being used for the first time for these dinners. It was designed as an apartment. And I learned that Martha Stewart was going to be a guest at the restaurant this week. Personal fun facts. I met Ambassador Philip Rieker, the U.S. Consul General to Milan. But I didn't get to see Mitchell Davis, who's usually there, as he wasn't in London yet, but he wasn't there that evening. He is the Chief Creative Officer for the USA Pavilion. He's also a fellow Heritage Radio Network host, and he's the Executive Vice President for the James Beard Foundation. So great job, Mitchell. Lastly, I love seeing Daniel Hum. He's one of the nicest and most talented chefs that I know. And as we said earlier, he was in London a couple days later for the World's 50 Best Awards, which EMP placed number 5 and also received Chef's Choice. So congratulations. The cost, $120. Would I go back? If and when in Italy? Of course. Their website is usapavilion2015.net, and they're using the hashtag JBAR. So that's my rundown, and now it's time for the final question. So, Elizabeth, I wanted to see if you could ask a question for Jean-Francois Bonnet, who's my guest next week. He is the executive pastry chef of Tumbador Chocolate, which is a handcrafted chocolate company based in Brooklyn. So, are you there? Can you ask Jean-Francois a question? Did I lose you, Elizabeth?
Yes. No, I'm here. You know, there is in and out, so I'm sorry if I...
Oh, that's okay.
...delayed in response, but my question for Francois would be, what brought you to Brooklyn to make chocolate?
Good question. He used to work at Danielle, so he has experience, but I'm curious to find out what he says about that, so thank you. So that's been the show. I'm so glad I got to see you in Milan, and I really think you're doing an amazing job, and I look forward to following along on your social media.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure, and now I'm missing Brooklyn and New York more and more just talking to you. I can hear the fires burning at Roberta's in the background, and I'm missing the pizza and good local beer. I haven't had a beer.
Well, when you get back, we'll meet up for some pizza and you can have some beers. And meanwhile, where you're at right now, I bet you can find some good pizza. Right?
Yeah. There's some. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I've been talking to Elizabeth Thacker Jones. She's a social media and culinary producer for USA Pavilion at Expo Milano 2015. You can follow her at Elizabeth T. Jones at USA Pavilion 2015, or that's 2015. Yeah. And at Expo 2015 Milano. You can also follow me at Sherry Bayer at Bayer PR, at All Industry, at Heritage_Radio. My Facebook page is All in the Industry, and my website's BayerPublicRelations.com. All of our shows are archived on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Yes? Hi. Did I get that right?
Sorry. You got it right. I was cutting in and out, but I wanted to say hello to your parents and thank you for having me on the show with them. That's so sweet.
You're welcome. They are actually sitting eating pizza outside the window, and it's been a very exciting show, and I just love them so much, and I'm just grateful that they're here. So thank you for saying that. I'm sure you made their day. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. Thanks to Jack and to Elizabeth. This is All in the Industry. I'll be back next Wednesday at 4 o'clock with another live show. I'm Sherry Bayer. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.